Dixieland.
To the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line you need to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. That's the best way to get in touch with me if you so choose. Still come on the program, Joey Clark in about an hour. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, my colleague from Breitbart News, Bradley J, will be with us. So stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, she heads up the Alabama Policy Institute. Always a delight to have her on. Stephanie Holden Smith is making time for us. Stephanie, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm looking forward to talking to you about taxes. Good morning, good taxes.
Yeah, well, I think here's you obviously saw our story. Georgia looking at doing away with its income tax, which
right.
You and I talk about that whenever they have one of these goofy economic development packages, it's kind of a giveaway. Mm-hmm. They will, you know, in an ideal world, Jeff, we wouldn't do any of this. Government shouldn't be doing this,
right.
But we have to do it because everybody else is doing it. And we don't want to be right. At this competitive disadvantage. And you're like, oh, okay, so everybody's going to jump off a cliff. We got to jump with them too, all right, whatever. So that being said, everybody is going down the plunge with the income tax here. When do we get to apply this logic to what we do in Alabama?
That is such a great point. And that is what we're told on the corporate welfare kind of end of things is that we have to compete. This is the game every other state is playing, so let's play the game. But then conversely, to your point, every state around us is moving toward the full elimination of the state income tax, although several already have. And all of our surrounding states and every southern state besides South Carolina has made large tax cuts and tax reforms over the last several years. So the article that y'all had about the Georgia Senate committee that was created, they created basically a study committee to figure out how they could possibly eliminate their income tax. But that's on the heels of a bill that they passed already in 2024 that's a slow walk toward, reducing their income tax. And then next door on the other side, you have Mississippi, who last year in their legislature actually passed a bill that it's going to be a slow walk, but they're reducing their state income tax to zero. It's going to take them until about, I think, 2031 to get there. They did raise their gas tax instead of having the income tax income, but their gas tax, even when it gets to the full amount, will still be 8 cents less than our current gas tax. So they had some wiggle room there. But, the interesting thing is if you look at the rankings, because when I talk to legislators about taxes, which happens pretty regularly, the mantra from most legislators, especially, budget chairs and people who are kind of in charge of spending the money, will say we're a low tax state, or we're the lowest tax state in the nation, some say. And that's just, it's not true. And it's becoming even less true. So we're actually ranked, I think, after these new changes this past legislative session, we're ranked either 14th or 15th in the nation as far as lowest tax burden. And what people usually point to when they're talking about us being right. The lowest is property taxes.
And not everybody owns property, so you don't realize the tax benefit. So, but on the other hand here, Stephanie, if our system is, it's messed up. It's a relic of the early 20th century, maybe even the 19th century to some degree. and it favors big landowners and, you know, big mm-hmm. ag, if you will. And it's always been like Alpha has always like fought tooth and nail on these property tax sure. things. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to change it, but that you know, it's a long drawn out process, I would think, with the Constitution. However, let me say this, and you know, I think maybe there's merit to this, that not everybody owns property, so not everybody's paying property tax. Mm-hmm. But everybody has to go engage in commerce and pay the sales taxes.
Right.
Not everybody
right.
works. We have one of the lowest labor participation or forced participation rates mm-hmm. in the country. So not everybody's paying mm-hmm. income tax. But in some ways, we have like a built-in consumption tax that does. It's regressive, whether you, mm-hmm. you think that's good or not. But everybody does have to pay in.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think that what's happening in Florida right now with Governor DeSantis is he's talking a lot about property taxes, and that's a smart thing for him to do. With a lot of people exiting, you know, New York and California and other places and coming to Florida. But what he's really, if you dig down into what he's actually talking about, he's not talking about eliminating all property tax in the state of Florida. What he's saying is for your homestead exemption. So for your one property that you actually live in and raise your family, there would be no property tax on that property. If you own other properties, then there would be property tax. So even with a farm or, rental property or, you know, just if you own multiple homes, then you would still have property tax on the places where you didn't physically live. And so that might be something that, you know, that we could teeter around with in Alabama as far as property tax goes, because that's it's very narrow and it's very specific, but it would be a tax cut. The corporate income tax rate in the state of Alabama needs some attention. Back to your original point of, hey, you know, we need to be competing against these other southern states and even, you know, just states nationwide for industry. If we want to compete for industry, the best way to do that, in my opinion, is to have a very competitive tax rate for individuals and corporations and have a better education system. If we had those two things, you wouldn't be able to keep people out of Alabama.
Yeah, it's just it's a quality of life thing. And I think the government, and they get full of themselves that, you know, all these things the government can do to make Alabama a better place to live. But it's mm-hmm. and then the government can do, like you said, with education. I mean, they are tied to that. However, that there's just certain quality of life things, certain cultural things that may not measure up in some of these indicators. And I think there's always just an anti-Alabama bias because sure. we are who we are. But they always look at themselves maybe, and that's not the right way to look about at it. But they do, I always believe that they just use that as a way just to get more tax dollars out the door, however they see fit.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But to me, the key is this clear indicators that our surrounding states, and especially those that we compete against with the most, are paying attention to this. And the state of Alabama is not. We're still talking about, as far as economic development goes, we're still talking about, you know, corporate packages and giveaways and what we can do instead of pressing the pause button and saying, okay, what can we actually do to just get out of their way? What can we do to incentivize them to come here because we have freedoms? What can we deregulate? What can we cut so that businesses, have more freedom here to actually do their business once they get here? And instead of that, we're still kind of in the old mode of, calculating how much money we gave away and how many jobs returned to us because we gave taxpayer money away. And to me, we need to reframe that issue. And by reframing it, especially as it is connected to tax policy, is clearly the smart thing to do. And frankly, what everyone else is doing all around us.
Yeah. And that's, it'll take them some time in Mississippi, it's going to take them 20 years. It'll take Georgia some time to get this done. What has to happen? Because Alabama is complicated. And, you know, I was talking about this morning with the morning show guys. The way the Alabama Constitution, I mean, you would have to get something passed to go to a vote of the people. And I'm sure that's the easy part. But, like, you're in those hallways. You know all the different little special interests, you know, contract lobbyists or whatever, all wanting their carve out or whatever to get something that's clean, that's pure, that is like
meaningful.
It's gonna be very difficult, especially if you're gonna need a 3/5 majority.
Yeah, no question. And I mean, frankly, one of the largest impediment to tax reform in the state is actually municipalities. Because the way our tax structure is set up, basically there's a state tax, and then for the most part there's a state tax, and then the municipalities, cities, and counties get some portion of that depending on what tax we're talking about. And so there's a turf situation there. And then you also have part of the reason why we're 14th or 15th instead of 5th or 6th, as far as effective tax rate for just kind of the average taxpayer, is because local city and county taxes tacked on to state taxes on things like the sales tax are why we have such a high sales tax. So it's not just state government that we're talking about funding. We're talking about the people who are using these taxes to fund their cities and their counties as well.
Yeah, and they're going to have to figure out a way to navigate, like I said, that. And that's where it becomes very complicated to me, getting something done. We could talk about it, and probably a lot of people listening think, well, then the legislature could just pass a bill and then it'll be done. But that's not – it's not going to be as easy here as it might be in other places.
Right, and the danger, and it's something that we're watching in other states, the danger is that the state – reduces the tax rate, but then the cities and the counties just increase to make up the difference. And so then you have state functions that are somewhat anemic. We're clearly not there yet, but in other states it's happening. You have state functions and state government that it becomes somewhat anemic, and then those local governments are actually fat and happy. And so that really doesn't help the taxpayer. And our goal, is to lower the tax burden and only pay for the things that are really necessary in both state government and local government. It doesn't really do us that much good as taxpayers and citizens to not pay it to the state, but pay it to where we live.
Well, and I still think the way they start this going, it's just defending the budgets at all costs. They're not, they are not interested, it doesn't seem, whenever you bring this up, reducing the size of the budgets. They grow, and then what happened? There's like this perverse thing they do where they pat themselves on the back every time they have a record-setting budget. Like, look at the money we have spent. Look at what we have done. Aren't we awesome?
Right.
And I never understood that. It's a weird mindset for a Republican supermajority.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. And the other frustrating thing is if there are any, and I'm using air quotes, cuts made, it's really cuts to the increases that they're talking about. There haven't been actual budget cuts. I mean, arguably you could say that there were some in 2008, 2009, but really there haven't been any true budget cuts in the state of Alabama for over 25 years. So, but a lot of people would say that's a good thing. I would say that, 6% growth, 3% growth, 4% growth on an annual basis makes for a very large budget.
Well, you and I were growing up, and proration would come every so often.
Yeah.
There was a built-in mechanism there to force the then Democrats to find places where they had to cut. Like, they had a gun to their head, and you can't fund this this year. We're not going to fund this this year. We're not going to fund this this year. That was in place. Now that these guys have at least gotten wiser about budgeting, there's not that there's not that mechanism anymore, and that's what's led to this growth.
Yeah, and I mean, on the other side of that coin, they would argue that their conservative budgeting has allowed you know, these savings accounts, and we've got, you know, all this different pots of money that we can draw from to make sure that there is no proration. But I think you're asking the right question, which is, you know, you don't want to throw people into a tizzy, but you also, it's probably a cleansing thing to every once in a while press the brakes and say, okay, what are we spending money on? And is this what we ought to be spending money on? Or are we just adding every single year to some things that were pretty bad ideas 20 years ago, and we're still spending money on it and adding to it every year? So there needs to be more of a mindset that state government needs to operate on a small and limited government, you know, mindset instead of a growth mindset. And that is just not there in the halls.
And I think that, you know, we could talk about these DOGE efforts or whatever, but they have got to, they've got to start looking at this differently. They got to start looking at this like scrutinizing some of these contracts and like prisons, right? Just who are these people who are getting all this state government work? And why are the costs so much relative to other things? There's just, it's just, well, that's just the way everything's always been done. That's the way we're going to do it. And there's no sense in, you know, you don't, that's just too much of a fight to have right now. But that's where this has got to start. The way the state does business has got to change. The mindset has to absolutely change to get to a place where you can even start winding down the income tax.
Yeah, no, I agree. And to your earlier point, you know, because of that excess spending and just kind of that growth mindset and having, you know, increases every single year, there's a constituency for all of that spending now. And if there's a constituency for spending, that means there's a lobbyist being paid by that constituency for that spending. And so then it becomes a practical matter of what can actually get passed. But yeah, there's no real lobbyist for the taxpayers. There are lobbyists for business taxes, but there are no real lobbyists for taxpayers. That's kind of API's role, is to point out the fact that nobody's looking after the taxpayers, and these huge increases in budgets every single year. Even if you're putting it in a savings account and not spending it every year, guess what? It's still coming out of our pockets. It's not being returned to us. And last year, when all of these other surrounding states have really been focusing on tax cuts, our legislature actually raised taxes.
They did. They let a big tax cut expire. Hey, Stephanie Foles, want to find out more about the Alabama Policy Institute? Where might they look?
We're on all the social media under Alabama Policy, and then our website is alabamapolicy.org.
Stephanie, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. You're still on the line.